Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all tonight. We are beginning a new series tonight through the Old Testament wisdom literature. In particular, the book is the book of Proverbs. And we're going to begin with chapter 1 tonight. But here's what we won't be doing is going through every single chapter and every single verse. It's going to be more thematically looking through in a somewhat chronological order through the book of Proverbs. But tonight, we're going to be looking at the overarching theme that is evident in the book of Proverbs. It's called the wisdom literature for a reason. It's all about wisdom tonight. Please open with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And follow along as we're going to read verse 1 through to 9, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into our sermon tonight. It says in verse 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, King of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." Verse 5, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word tonight. It truly is a privilege to be able to open and to, Holy Spirit, have you speak to us through it. I pray tonight that you would wash over us with your presence, that you would cleanse us and forgive us of our unrighteousness, that you would impart to us again your grace, that we here gathered tonight would know that we have been in your very presence, Lord God Almighty. Fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with wisdom that can only come from you, because we are so desperately in need of that today. I praise you, Lord God, for who you are, for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and all that you are still yet to do in our lives, on our behalf, and for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord God, here on earth as it is in heaven. We commit this time to you now in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Amen. Very excited to study the book of Proverbs with you, and especially as we go through and learn what we so desperately need. If there's anything that I think that's in short supply in the world today, it's wisdom. And the world will define wisdom in certain ways, but we don't want to be about the world's version, definition of wisdom. We so much need God, and we need biblical wisdom, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. Perhaps you've had a scenario in your life where you have desperately needed wisdom. It might be that you've been about to embark upon a new adventure, or there's perhaps been a new opportunity in a career or a new opportunity in a ministry, and you have just felt overwhelmed by that moment, by that situation. And certain times in my life, looking back and even just in the past year, at times where opportunities have presented where I've just felt like I do not know what to do. I do not know if I'm capable or able to do this. And my mind in those situations often goes back to the story of Solomon at the very beginning of his reign and rule when inheriting the kingdom from his father David. And if there's anyone who had big shoes to fill, it was Solomon in following after King David, who even now in Israel is revered as like the golden era in Israel's history and a longing to return to the rule and to the reign of King David. Well, imagine being his son. Imagine inheriting that kingdom. That was Solomon. And so it was that Solomon, we're told the story in the Bible, that he had been appeared to by the Lord in a dream at the beginning of his reign and was presented with almost like a genie-like scenario. If you could have anything granted unto you, Solomon, what would it be? And Solomon asked for this. He asked for wisdom. He felt overwhelmed by the role before him. We know the story that God granted him wisdom so much so that Jesus took it up in the Gospel of Matthew that said there was none wiser than Solomon upon the earth. But then Jesus presented himself as, here is the one that Solomon pointed to in all of his wisdom. I am he that is the fulfillment of all of that which Solomon spoke of. But in our scenarios, in our situations in life, what we desperately need so often is wisdom. And wisdom we'll cover tonight is more than just knowledge. It's more than just facts. It's more than just being a genius intellectually. And maybe you know people like this who seem to know a lot of stuff, but are very stupid in the way that they live their life. It seems like, how can somebody be so smart and yet do one dumb thing after another? And what they're missing is wisdom. They have knowledge, but they're missing out on the application of how to practically live in such a way that reflects wisdom. Hand up tonight if you want to be wise. We want biblical wisdom in our lives, hands down. And so, as we open up the book of Proverbs, it is a book for you and I. We all need this. We all need wisdom. In fact, to think otherwise, to think, oh no, I'm so advanced, I'm okay on the wisdom front, is actually what the Bible says, foolish. Have a listen to what Proverbs, and by the way, tonight we'll quote a lot out of the book of Proverbs, and I've tried my best to put the majority of these up on the screen for us, but you could turn there yourself and be a student of the word if I've missed some, but we'll read out the scriptures together often. But Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says this, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." So in other words, if you think that you have arrived, that you don't need to obtain anything in the way of wisdom, then the Bible says that is the very definition of a fool. And we don't want to be fools in our lives. We want to be wise, and to be wise is to be open, is to be teachable, is to present ourselves in humility as students of God's word and to say, here I am, Lord, teach me. And God will honor that, and he will do that tonight if we are wise in doing so. And so tonight we begin a journey through Proverbs that is ultimately a journey into wisdom. And it's wisdom that is passed on to us by Solomon primarily. He is the human author, but we know this from Scripture, that all Scripture is what? God-breathed. And it's profitable and it's beneficial. So it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Solomon, yes, very practical, lived out a lot of the wisdom that we all learn and read in these Proverbs. But it is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that it is disseminated or delivered to us. Now there's two main parts to the book of Proverbs. In chapter 1 through to 9 are somewhat kind of speeches or discourses, words of wisdom that Solomon delivers. In the second part, from chapter 10 on through to the end of the book in chapter 31, are very much applications. Here's what that might look like in day-to-day living. So it's a very practical book, opening up with teaching and doctrine in the first part, and then application in the second. And there are some very weighty, serious issues that the book will explore for us. There are some things that we need to grab a hold of in our hearts and to learn and take with the severity of, this is God's word, and I need to correct this area in my life. For example, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 28, it tells us, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. In other words, the weighty issue of something like today that is so prevalent in gossip, in the world in which we live, Proverbs tells us in all seriousness here as a word of wisdom, that if you are prone to gossip, then it is a revelation of hatred towards those people that you are gossiping to. It says a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. And we're so dismissive in society today of lies and of gossip. In fact, I think in Australia, it's like our favorite pastime. Many people are just prone and apt. And, well, there's a little bit of gossip, but the scriptures, the wisdom literature will tell us that it is a revelation of hatred in our hearts towards people. Well, there are some severe, heavy issues that arise, but there are some more lighthearted, very almost humorous ones for us. Here's one, a very down-to-earth, practical bit of advice from Proverbs 25, verse 16 says, Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. And many young children know the truth of that, not so much with honey, but with sugar. That too much of a good thing can be disastrous, even leading to sickness in areas. So there is very great wisdom, and Proverbs is where the massive truths of the Bible meet the everyday realities of life. So there is such wisdom to be found here in the way of work. Practically what we do in the 9-to-5, in our Monday to Friday grind of our work life, there's wisdom to be found in the book of Proverbs. There's wisdom to be found in the area of study. Those of you who are in education, as students, great wisdom for you here in these pages. There is great wisdom to be found with respect to our relationships. Husband, wife, mother, father, children, brother, sister. There is great wisdom to be found with respect to our finances, with family, with friendship, with our emotions and how we feel and how we think, with our conversations one to another, with sexuality, with living in the world. Great wisdom to be found in the book of Proverbs. As we're thinking about wisdom, have you ever encountered somebody that you've spent time with and you go, wow, they are just so wise. I love hearing them speak on such and such. I just can't believe how much wisdom they have in this area. And the temptation that we have with encountering people like that is to think that they were just simply born with it. That, well, you know, woe is me, I'll never attain to that level of wisdom as old so-and-so. But the truth is that wisdom is not something that you are born with. Wisdom is something that is made in someone's life. And so tonight we're going to effectively see how that can be possible in our lives tonight before us. We're going to look at a few things, but number one, we're going to have a look firstly at what is wisdom. And I would submit to you that it is, from verses 1 and 2, about living well in a complicated world. In verse 1, again, we're told it's the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. He is a very real historical figure, a person who walked on this earth, who experienced what we experience. Yes, Solomon was a very wealthy, privileged individual, but he was also a civil servant, if you want to think of it in that way. He lived life in many of the areas and experiences that we experience today. And as such, what we are reading through this book is going to be very practical for us. Don't you think this, that King Solomon had a complicated existence? That his life, that his experience on earth was a complex experience. And many of us tonight would submit, well, you don't know how difficult my life is, how complicated things are. Then there is good news for you through the book of Proverbs in particular. Because wisdom is about living well in a complicated world. Solomon needed wisdom. And Solomon studied and learnt about wisdom. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. It is the skill, wisdom is the skill of living in a complicated and complex world. Again, these words come from a very real person in Solomon, very real situations, very real life. It's not like Solomon lived a monastic existence, and so what he's articulating and expressing in this book is detached from reality. No, that's far from the truth. Everything that Solomon writes is written with a great, what we'll call, earthiness, a connection to reality. So it's very practical. Solomon needed so much wisdom. If you've read anything about his life and his experience, some of the situations that we read of, well, what would you do if you were in Solomon's sandals? How would you act? Solomon acted very wisely. And it was more than just an adherence to moral law when it came to Solomon. What do I mean by that? You know, the Ten Commandments. These are things that are clearly right, and there's no ambiguity about that. For Solomon, much of what he experienced and what we seek wisdom for in our lives are those what? Those gray areas. those areas of, well, how do I navigate through this with my boss when they're doing this, and oh, it's just, how do I navigate this dating relationship? How do I find a good housemate? All of those very practical things, there's wisdom for us in Proverbs about living life in those, where there's no verse or moral law in the scriptures that says, thou shalt not have a housemate who is 5'3". You know, there's a little bit of gray area in there. I mean, it would be foolish of us to go, yeah, I'm really seeking wisdom right now. I mean, I'm having some conflict with my boss at work, and I'm thinking about killing them. You'd be like, hang on a minute, what? You don't need wisdom on that. It's pretty crystal clear. The Ten Commandments says such and such. Oh, okay, yeah, no, I didn't know that. I guess I'll scratch that off my list. We don't talk like that. It's kind of idiotic to even use that analogy, but here's what we do struggle with. My boss is prone to anger, or my boss does this and it's very frustrating. How do I, as a Christian, respond to that? How do I, in my workplace, live in such a way that still honors the Lord, but how do I expose this? Do I confront that? Do I stand back? And what do I do? That's where we want wisdom, isn't it? What do I do in this situation? How do I act? How do I respond? So, for those predicaments, for those situations, God gave and provides wisdom. In the Old Testament, the same word that we're reading here in Proverbs that is used for wisdom was used in the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible in particular, for those skilled craftsmen who were given the responsibility of handling with their hands and their skills the precious metals that were used to build the implements for the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting. And that same word was used of their skill. It's used here in Proverbs of wisdom. And so the idea, the picture then for us to have in this is that wisdom is a tool, a skill for living in a complicated, complex world. And so someone who is wise skillfully works the craft of wisdom, of living in the complexity that is the reality. And so wisdom is required in those tricky gray areas of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, for instance, gives us some great wisdom. And I wonder how much wrath, how much conflict could be avoided in our lives if we were to abide by this. Proverbs 15, 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so in the context of, let's say, a workplace with a colleague or with a boss, where there is something that they say or do that just fires up within you that animalistic reaction of, oh, I want to get even, or I want to say the first thing that comes to mind. Proverbs tells us that the wise response is to perhaps stand back out of that and to deliver a soft answer that turns away wrath. How many World War III conflicts could be avoided if we would just be wise in this regard? Wisdom issues that we'll cover through the book of Proverbs. Well, we'll see areas where we can attain that wisdom in, yes, the dating relationship or in having a right friendship. And there's much in Proverbs on relationships. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, for example, says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And the idea is that the people that you choose to associate with are to be those that, like iron, sharpening iron, are going to bring about mutual benefit to both parties there, where you're able to be open and honest in that relationship, not guarded and reserved, but able to be a blessing one to another as iron sharpens iron. What about money? It's much in this book, but it's so countercultural to the ways of thinking in the world. Here's what the Bible in Proverbs says in this regard. Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Our world will tell you that get more and more and more money, get more and more stuff, and hoard it and keep it to yourself. But the scriptures, the wisdom of Proverbs, will tell us that with regard to our resources, our finances, our money, that a generous spirit will lead to abundance, that a hoarding, selfish spirit will lead to poverty in our existence, in our lives. So counterintuitive to the way of thinking and the so-called wisdom of the world in which we live. And so as we continue through, we'll see that we'll gain more and more wisdom. In verse 2, it tells us that it is understanding, to perceive the words of understanding. Some scriptures, the version that you might have, might actually put it this way, to obtain words of insight. We need insight in the world in which we live, in our parenting relationships, in our relationships in general. Man, do I need insight into relationships? There's 31 chapters through the book of Proverbs, and was actually said this morning, and Billy Graham is responsible for it, that very similar to most months having 31 days or thereabouts, such a great, wise, very practical form of devotion to read a proverb a day. And you could do no worse than to dig into the scriptures. Again, it comes from very real people. Today, how much of your advice, how much of your wisdom do you seek from doing Google searches? We do that all through our life, don't we? We say, oh, what do I do? And we type up, how do I change or how do I fix? And we start to self-diagnose certain things. You know, a rash appears on our body and next minute we've gone to the conclusion that we're dying of some fatal disease and it's just, oh, woe is me and so on. Well, before there was Google, there was people. And people who had experienced and were able to communicate wisdom. This is what the book of Proverbs is for us. It is the experience of one wise in particular individual in Solomon who is able to communicate such richness of wisdom for us. So it's about living well in a complicated world. And secondly, wisdom is more than brilliance, more than just intelligence, more than simply knowing things. Verse 3, it says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, and the beginning of verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. All of these words that are mentioned in those verses are indicative of this. Wisdom is about character. These are all terms that are indicative of what somebody stands for, what somebody sees as valuable and is important. Character is who you become, who you are, through choices, through habits. And so it is very possible to be smart, to be genius even, but to be a fool, according to what we read in Proverbs. You can know all that there is to know factually, but lack wisdom. You can lack character. And that's why we know people like this, as I mentioned at the beginning. People who seem to know a lot of information about certain things. They might even be experts in their field. But wow, the way that they live their lives, or more to the point, their lack of character is an embarrassment to their so-called genius. Or on the flip side, they use their genius to manipulate or to head towards a path of evil with it. So they're very calculating in their deceit or in their misconduct in the way where you just stand back and you think, that is genius in the way that they've done that, but oh, it is evil in what they have done. And so wisdom is about character. Wisdom is about integrity. More than what you know, wisdom is about putting that knowledge into practice. It's not about facts. It's not about knowledge. It is about what you do with it. And here's a good example of this. For instance, you might know the right thing to say, but oh, your timing is all out of whack. You might know the right thing to say, but you lack the wisdom for the right time to say so. Here's a very real example of that. Somebody I know who'd experienced the passing of a loved one, and a well-meaning individual coming up to them and saying with words, motivated by a right heart, the following: I understand how you're feeling right now. just 2 weeks ago, my cat passed away, and it was just a terrible thing. And it was like, my ears pricked up at that. It was like, just stop right now. And I'm not suggesting that there's no sympathy for the loss of a pet, because that can be devastating, but wow, to express that at the time when somebody is going through the rawness of the loss of a loved one, and yes, it's motivated by a desire to help, but it was the wrong timing. Lacked wisdom. Knowledge, maybe, a desire to help in a time of need, right heart even, but wrong time. Totally. Timing. Here's another example, and this is from the book of Proverbs. Don't you think it's a good thing to want to bless someone? You say, I would really just love to bless so-and-so. Timing matters. Here's what Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14 says. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Now, if you're the kind of person that rings up your friend at 5 or texts them at 5:30 in the morning and just want to bless you, brother, here's this scripture that I was reading and they're woken by it, you can guarantee that their response is going to be one of frustration and considering it as a curse. What did so-and-so wake me up for? As opposed to missing out on the benefit of that blessing that was intended in that way. Or, you know, that person who perhaps you're not a morning person, but they just painfully are. And they wake up and they're just singing happily, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And they're just singing away. It's like, I'm going to get my pillow and strangle you in a minute. Be quiet. Wisdom. Wisdom requires reading the situation. It's a matter of character. And verse 4 continues with this way in respect to, it says, to give prudence to the simple. Now, people think this in the world today, and you'll hear people say this again and again. What the world needs today is more what? Education. People just need to be informed more. You know, just if there's a lack of information, if people just had the right information, and really what that is, it's tapping into ancient Greek thought that knowledge would be the cure and the solution to all things. And so the more that people knew, the more that they would make right decisions and choices. But really, it's about wisdom that's needed to apply that. It's deeper than facts. Wisdom is about not knowledge, but the application of that. It's about the will and the heart. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 14 puts it this way. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and is desperately wicked. And so it is our heart that needs the transformative work of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from God's Word to change and to transform the way we do things, when we do things, why we do things, and all of that to be able to act wisely in a character that reflects us as being people of God. Wisdom is what we need. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 says that the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Oh, that last line. Some people know so much that they just have to tell everybody about how much they know. You know people like that, don't you? Immediately our mind has just pictured people that we know who are like that. Who just blab, 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 and tell how much I was reading and did you know and such. Shut up. You're a prating fool. It's about the heart that brings about the wise commands with that way and being open in wisdom to the sensitivity of functioning in the right place at the right time. So this book will focus so much on the contrast between wise and foolish behavior. And what we'll see in that contrast through the scriptures and what we're seeing already in chapter 1 here is that it's not about being smart or being unintelligent, about being a genius or about being a dumbo. No, it is about humbly being teachable versus stubbornly being filled with pride and arrogance that is a revelation of a foolish heart. You see, a fool is not somebody who cannot learn. A fool is somebody who won't learn, who refuses to learn. That's a big difference, isn't there? A fool is not somebody who cannot learn. What we'll see through Proverbs is that as more and more is said about the fool, it is somebody who resists, who refuses to be teachable, who thinks in their arrogance and pride that they know it all. Verse 3 again tells us that the benefit of wisdom to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, all of these things are about being a virtuous person. Now, there's a word that we don't associate with people much today, is it? How would you describe so-and-so? They're a person of virtue, a virtuous character. That's wisdom, being virtuous. And so, the third thing I want us to look at in verses 4 and 5 is this. Who is wisdom for? We've looked at what is wisdom. We've looked at why we need wisdom. The question is, well, who is wisdom for? Wisdom is for you. Wisdom is for me. Wisdom is for all of us. Verse 4 again, to give prudence to the simple. Simple here is not someone lacking in intelligence, but rather lacking in experience. However, no one, as we'll see through Proverbs, ever graduates from needing wisdom. It is a journey that you're on for the entirety of your life. You're not too young for wisdom, and you're certainly not too old for wisdom. Whatever career you are in, whatever phase or stage of life that you're in, entering into university, you need wisdom. Entering into retirement, you need wisdom. Heading out into areas of life, you need wisdom in all areas of life, in all stages. All of us need it. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, if we think that we have arrived when it comes to wisdom, it's not a good outcome for us. The wise person is one who is open, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter what phase or stage of life, we all need wisdom. And so wisdom is something that we are to never stop seeking, to never stop desiring. And that's what verse 5 means, where it says that a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The word attain there means to pursue. It's this picture of a discipline and an application, a propensity towards, I will deliberately, intentionally pursue. The journey of my life will be about wisdom. This is a path, a direction that is set for me in how I will live my life. And so we're to be about, especially as Christians, as God's people, the pursuit of wisdom. Why? What's the benefits of pursuing wisdom? Let me give you three reasons why we should pursue, why we should attain wisdom. Number one, it's profitable. You know, every single area, every single phase or stage of life will benefit from pursuing after wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 to 11 say this, that receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. In other words, Solomon writes and says effectively, imagine this scenario. If tomorrow you were presented with the choice between $1 million and wisdom, Solomon says, choose wisdom. Wisdom is far more valuable to you than rubies, than precious gold, than silver. And how different is that to what we would grab? Well, I'd be taking $100,000, let alone $1 million. I could be very wise in how I spend that, we might say. Wisdom is worth more, the Bible says. More than precious gold, more than rubies, more than $1 million. Wisdom is, do we value it as much as that? So it's profitable. But the second thing that we'll see with why we should pursue, attain wisdom, is that it is actually attainable. It's not like the golden fleece that's so rare and hard to find, or the golden goose, or any other familiar tale that you are perhaps drawn to, it comes through the acknowledgement of need in our lives, and so therefore a proactiveness on our part to pursue. And in the book of Proverbs, what we see is that wisdom is characterized in the feminine in many regards. And in chapter 1 here, we'll read on a little bit further, as a woman who wisdom is personified, is calling out to any who would respond and to attain wisdom that is available to those who would listen and to seek after it. Here's what Proverbs 1 verse 20 to 24 says. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. So it's not a secluded, hidden away thing that only a select few can obtain. No, she cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her word. So it's available, it's attainable. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. So there's this picture of wisdom being available, of presenting, and for the person who is listening, who is seeking, who is searching, you can attain wisdom. That's good news, because we all, many of us, put our hands up at the beginning and said, I want wisdom. It's not an elusive thing that, well, there's some who can attain wisdom, but woe is me, I'll never experience the benefit of that. Wisdom calls. The question is, will you respond? Will you pursue? And wisdom, not only is it profitable, not only is it attainable, but it is irreplaceable. Your life depends on wisdom. Because as we'll read through Proverbs, the opposite, the alternative, is to choose folly. And folly, foolishness, leads to perishing, leads to death in the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 9 say, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Do you think Solomon's repeating something because it's important? Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Do you desire this for your life? I do. And I desire it for your life too, and I think that many of you desire it, that you desire to be wise in the way that you live life. And so as we bring this to our final point tonight, understand this, that wisdom, finally, is about worship. Wisdom is about worship. You see, verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Worship is what we are all as human beings created and designed to do. Goes back to the book of Genesis. The very reason that we were made, and Revelation tells us, so the first and last book in the Bible, emphasize the main point that we exist to give God pleasure. That we find fulfillment in being worshippers of God, that hardwired within us is a propensity towards worship. And worship is about what you value, about what you trust the most. And so in reality, everybody on earth worships something or someone. It's just that many have replaced the rightful place of God in their life and inserted some form of creation. So they've substituted creator for creation and are worshipping things, worshipping experiences, worshipping themselves, elevating that to the place that God should be. Proverbs places God at the center of our existence. And that's why verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, fear here is awe, admiration, honor, is worship. And that, Proverbs says, is the beginning of wisdom for our lives. Oswald Chambers, who was a Scottish preacher in the past, and for those of you who are perhaps interested in reading, I'd commend many of his works to you, he said this, that when you fear God, you will fear nothing else. But, he said, when you don't fear God, you will fear everything else. Isn't that wise? You see, ultimately, wisdom, as we're going through the book of Proverbs, and for us tonight to understand, wisdom is not about a principle. We're all about principles. Oh, I need to grab that, I need to grab a hold of that. No, wisdom is about a person. Wisdom is about the person, God. It's about giving Him the rightful place in our lives. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, wisdom is not earned. Wisdom is received as a gift that comes from God. That when we present, when we submit ourselves with our lives of worship unto Him, He promises that He will bless us with Himself. And He promises wisdom. It is His gift to us. And Jesus Himself offers that. Again, in Matthew chapter 12, He stood and declared to all that were present and to us as we read these words, that one who is greater than Solomon is here. And He's like, that's me. I'm here. And you and I, as believers today, have Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as our God. And Jesus calls us His friends. And He has promised that He will give to us that which we need when we need it in the area of wisdom. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this, that if anyone seeks after wisdom, that they should what? Ask God, and He will give abundantly that which we need. He will give ultimately of Himself. He will give Himself to us. He will give to us wisdom. And so tonight, excited to be on this journey through Proverbs with you. It's all about our pursuit of lives in connection, in relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom that we need. And He will guide and direct our every steps. And as we dig into the wisdom literature of Proverbs, we're going to learn very much practical that will help us in our day-to-day lives. But here's what we won't do in that is lose sight of all that this points to in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this wonderful book of Proverbs, and we ask that you would speak so clearly to us and grant to us the wisdom we so desperately need. Pray your blessing upon each person here, that you would pour out abundantly upon them wisdom that can only come from you. And as we just studied then, the fear of you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. May we start there with hearts, with lives of worship, honoring you, placing you first and foremost, and submitting and surrendering ourselves unto you as our Lord, as our Savior, as our God, as the Master of our lives. We need wisdom in how we live. We need wisdom as husbands, as wives, as mothers, as fathers, as employers, as employees, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so ask we now, God, for your help in all of these areas. Go before us into this week, we pray. Govern us, direct us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.